Today is the first Sunday in Lent, and there are several announcements. As is our custom throughout the year, but just especially during Lent, to remind you that confessions are heard before and after every Sunday Mass, and also on Saturday, before and after the 8:30 Mass. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then for those who were unable to assist at Mass on Ash Wednesday, blessed ashes will be imposed on those who come to the communion rail. So right after this Mass, if you just come up to the communion rail, one of the priests will give you the ashes. We will not have benediction this evening, and in case you're wondering why we haven't had it the last several weeks, it's because we are still recovering from these illnesses, COVID and flu and all the other maladies that we've had. And I think all of the priests, maybe except one, went in the last 3 weeks, went to the emergency room because we were so sick. So we are almost all back now, including the seminarians, like 90-95%. But the sisters are still going through it. They all became ill. So first of all, we want to thank you for your prayers and the masses that you've had offered for us, and please continue to pray, but also pray for the sisters, because it's been, I think, the worst illness they've had since they were established here in the 1980s. It's just been really a lot of suffering, and I know many of you too have been suffering and enduring these sicknesses, so we're praying for you, but we do thank you for your prayers. And during the season of Lent, starting tomorrow, we're going to open the chapel up for the 7:20 Mass. We have year-round, except on Thursday, 7:20 and 8:30 open to you. Same schedule on Thursday, but that's our retreat day. So if you wish to attend the 7:20 Mass, you may do so if it works with your schedule. So there'll be 7:20 and 8:30 Mass every day except Thursday through Lent. Tomorrow, Monday, is the cleaning of the chapel after the 8:30 Mass. And Thursday is the Thursday before the first Friday of the month, so we will have the Holy Hour and Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 7 p.m. And this week is first Friday, so after the 8:30 Mass, we're scheduling it, but things may change depending on Father's schedule and his full recovery. We'll have the conference and the rosary after the 8:30 Mass. And then Stations of the Cross, we start this Friday, followed by Benediction and Confessions, and that is at 7 p.m. this Friday. And then, of course, first Saturday of the month, same Mass schedules, but this week, 7:20 and 8:30 Masses. And the obligation to fulfill your Easter duty begins today, first Sunday of Lent, and ends on Trinity Sunday, which is June 4th. And in case you need to be reminded, the Easter duty is receiving Holy Communion during this time. That's a serious obligation of every Catholic. And the reason the Church has that commandment is because over the last 2,000 plus years, there have been laity, priests, even bishops, who have thought a person should not receive Holy Communion too often. And that's wrong. If a person's in the state of grace, they should receive often, even daily. But the church made that commandment, so at least a Catholic, faithful Catholic, receives at least once a year, especially during that Easter time. And the other commandment related to that, commandment of the church, it says, receive the sacrament of penance at least once a year. Now, that seems like an awful, very short brief reception of that sacrament. We should receive that sacrament often, but the church again makes that commandment, and that's at least once a year, and that's only if a person's in the state of mortal sin. But the usual common practice, traditional practice, is to receive sacrament of penance frequently, maybe monthly or more often, because that helps you to avoid sin. And then the Ember Days are this week, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, and those are special days 4 times a year for increased prayers and devotions, but also to make up for our sins because of the texts of the Mass. So they're days of fast and abstinence, at least partial abstinence. We do have 2 feasts this week, which we'll mention in a moment, but maybe some of you have heard, but one of the faithful here, one of you, a person who's been coming here for decades, Paul Haley, passed away this last Friday. I think many of you knew him, and he was fortunate, by the grace of God, to receive the last sacraments and the apostolic blessing hours before he passed away. So the rosary and the funeral mass times are yet to be determined, because by the time on Friday evening all of the funeral home closed and all the scheduling has to be done on Monday. So we will contact you by the voicemail system, you're familiar with that, with details. It might be this Friday evening and then the funeral on Saturday, or it might be next week. We might have to cancel stations and have the rosary at the funeral home instead, so we don't know that. But right now, we'll have the stations, and everything will be the same schedule unless you hear otherwise. And you can always, we'll put it on our website, but you can always contact us if you have any questions. And if you do hear what the schedule is and there's somebody that you think may not follow the schedule or be able to look on the internet, you can contact them. Remember to pray for his departed soul. He's in eternity now. He just was here at Mass some weeks ago. Your prayers can help him, your Masses for his soul. Now tomorrow, February 27th, is the Feast of St. Gabriel, Our Lady of Sorrows. We're not going to give a detailed account of his life, but when I was a seminarian, I was given by our Father Superior his biography. And he belonged to the Passionist Order, same order that in the Blessed Mother Shrine here, Our Lady of Sorrows Shrine, there's a statue of a priest in a black habit, and that's St. Paul of the Cross. And he was the founder of the order, So St. Gabriel belonged to this order. But as with so many, maybe most Catholics, most people who are on their way to heaven, he was, in the beginning of his life, a worldly person. He was handsome. He liked being with the women, the girls. He'd go to dances and plays. But he always, as he relates to his confessor, and as he told his superiors, he never fell into grievous sin. But he realized his life was empty and he was being called to something higher. And so he gave it all up and joined the Passionist Order and was studying to be a priest. But sickness overtook him when he was in his 20s, and he passed away. And he lived in the middle of the 1800s. And he died on February 27th on his feast day. But it's a beautiful story, especially for young people, but for all of us. It's, if you can find the story or just even an account of him online, it's worth reading because it's moving, and in many ways we can relate to him in 2023 because he didn't live so long ago. He's the person just like the rest of us, but he decided to take his faith, his life seriously, and so he died a saint after conquering his faults and his sins, and he became a saint. And then on March 4th, St. Casimir, who also was a young man, he was the son of a king. This is in the middle of the 1400s. And he was forced to be, because he was the son of the king, he had to be in the court among all the wealth and the fancy garments. And he realized he was meant for something greater. But he, in a way, he was a prison of that life, with all the riches and being around the important people, the popular people. So he secretly led in a very austere and very penitential life in the court. And he also died a young man, but he was a saint, and he is one of the patrons of Poland and Lithuania. So he's another saint for our times and for young people because he overcame his faults in the midst of temptation to get to heaven. And that is all of the announcements. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We want to just give you a few reminders and doctrinal points about what we are now starting, this greatest of seasons of the year, the Paschal season, and it starts with Lent. Now, Ash Wednesday used to be the first day of Lent. And because of the mercy and the indulgence of the church, it was decided to make the Sundays of Lent no fast or abstinence. So that's why there's none on these days. So in a way, Ash Wednesday does begin Lent, but the real, in terms of the readings and, for example, the preface of the Mass, but also of the Divine Office, different prayers, it really begins on this Sunday of Lent. Now for maybe half of you, you receive the ashes, the blessed ashes of the priest. And then for the rest of you, you're about to receive them. So we thought we'd just spend a moment to tell you, remind you of this, the importance of this great sacramental. The first prayer used by the priest when he's blessing the ashes on Ash Wednesday is like this. "Almighty and eternal God, forgive the penitent sinner and be merciful to those who implore your help. Send your holy angel from heaven to bless and sanctify these ashes so that they may bring spiritual health to all who humbly call upon your holy name and confess their conscious faults. To those who are sorry for their sins and earnestly implore your divine goodness and your gracious mercy, we call upon your holy name and accept these ashes in the hope of receiving forgiveness for our sins. Keep us all safe and sound in body and soul." Now, of course, the ashes are from the burned palms of last year's Palm Sunday. They are collected. They're burned and then they're made into this fine black dust, ashes, and then they're saved for Ash Wednesday to be blessed. And then they're imposed on all the faithful. And it's actually, you may know this, but it's actually permitted for non-Catholics to receive certain sacramentals like blessed candles. But the ashes are for all Catholics, whether we're in the state of sin or not. Because the priest, when he says the words while imposing the ashes on your forehead in the shape of a cross, and incidentally for tonsured clerics, so you may have seen the priests, they receive them on the tonsure on top of the head in the form of the cross. Remember, man, thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. Those are the words of God to Adam after he committed his sin that cursed the human race. He was telling the very proud and sinful first man who thought he could be like God. He gave in, submitted to the temptation of Lucifer and also his wife, Eve, who was deceived by the devil. And he told them, remember, I created you out of the dirt, out of the soil, and you're going to go back there. And the reason you're going to die is because of your sin, your disobedience. Because the theologians, church fathers, tell us that because we are human beings, flesh and blood, when God created Adam and then Eve, just being human, we could not live for eternity. Our bodies are not meant to do that of themselves on the natural order. But God gave them, among other gifts, the gift of immortality, to live forever. Gave them great knowledge, gave them integrity to be in total control of their passions. And because of Adam's disobedience, and Eve also, but especially Adam, because he was the first man, he was the head of the human race, he was the head of Eve. Because he committed this sin, he lost all those special gifts, the preternatural gifts. So now he had the curse of death. And that is why we die. Because of the sin of Adam and because of our own sins. So what does Holy Mother the Church do? Gives us a very merciful and accommodating sacramental that's imposed on us during Lent to have us remember where we've came from. Remember that we're guilty. We're sinners and we need help. We need medicine, just like the untold prescriptions and supplements and that we've been taking for the last month. It's overwhelming. And it helps us if they're taken correctly. Well, in the spiritual order, we get the sacramentals, and that's what the ashes are. They help us get to heaven. That's what Paul Haley got. Because he was moments from dying and he had the priest come. His wife said he may not make it. So he received the sacrament of penance, received absolution, received extreme unction, received the apostolic blessing. And his wife told me he's unconscious because the priest has different ways he's instructed by the ritual of how to deal with people who are unconscious or whatever state they are near the time of death. And as I was putting on the safety gown and masks and everything in the hospital, I looked through the window in the ICU, and he's on a respirator and he's completely unconscious. And that's what I was told, he's unconscious. I walked in and he immediately woke up and was completely alert. He could not speak, but he was alert. And you know what was a beautiful thing? During the blessings, while blesses him with the sign of the cross, he's blessing himself, hooked up to all these tubes and wires and everything. He's blessing himself, struggling. Because he's a Catholic to the end. God takes care of those who are faithful, even with despite our faults and our sins. He won't forget us. The Blessed Mother will not forget us. And we say that, we tell you that, because how important it is day to day to be faithful to your duties, especially during Lent. Now the word Lent comes from this old English word, Lenten, which means just the spring season. It's a season of spring. But it means the time of fasting and penance before Easter. The word Lent in Latin is Quadragesima, which means the 40 days. Again, the 40 days before Easter. Now, why is it 40 days, and why do we do all this preparation? Why does Holy Mother the Church give us these sacramentals? What is all the point of this? Well, it's to imitate Christ. The gospel tells us he fasted for 40 days in the desert. It was miraculous. No food or water for 40 days. So he's very weak. So we imitate him on that in terms of the duration of our penances. And then we imitate him also because we do battle with the devil, with Lucifer. Now, remember, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and this is how he dispatched and put away the devil. Because Lucifer did not know for sure who Jesus Christ was. He looked like an ordinary man. And that's why our Lord permitted himself to be lifted up and put on the temple and on this mountain by the devil. Imagine that. And so, as I said, that's how our Lord took care of Lucifer. Our first defense in temptation or anything is to immediately flee. Say the holy names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and run away from the temptation. Just like if you're in danger of someone attacking you or whatever, sometimes you have to defend yourself or those near you, but often the best thing is to don't try to engage someone who's stronger than you. So we put away and get rid of sources of temptation, the near occasions of sin. We know that. Notice in this gospel, the devil, Lucifer, who is was the greatest of all angels created. He was the highest of all angels. It was considered he was a seraphim, greater than any of the angels. But because of his pride, and he wanted to be like God, when it was revealed to him, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, it was revealed to him and all the angels beneath him, all the billions of angels beneath him, that God would create far lower beings beneath the angels in their nature, called human beings, who would be physical, material, and spiritual. And that God would give both the angels and men a gift that's greater than all creation, and that is uncreated grace, meaning sanctifying grace, the life of God. And Lucifer, and maybe a third of all the angels, according to the theologians, no, I will not serve. I'm not going to be on the most important level of grace equal to these inferior creatures. And they disobey God and were cast into hell created for them. And then Adam, of course, is created. And he also is tested and he failed. But the difference between us and the angels is that God, because we're far weaker than the angels, he gives us a second chance, and that is to save our souls with the help of his grace. By being members of his church, by receiving his seven sacraments that he created for us, by assisting at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the only true worship ever in creation, especially in the New Testament. The perfect worship, this Mass that you assist at. And so, the symbol of and the sacramental of these ashes is to help us on these 40 days to turn our lives around, to take it seriously, to take our lives seriously, take our souls seriously. Take life seriously, take death seriously. Because once we die, that's it. The way we die is set for eternity. And notice what that prayer that I read, that first blessing for the ashes, it's talking about the penitent. That mercy is extended by God through his church, through the priest, sacramentals, but especially sacrament of penance. But it has to be and can only be valid and lawful if the person is sorry and contrite. If a person goes to the sacrament of penance and is not sorry and doesn't want to convert, It is a sacrilege. It's a horrible, mortal sin. And if the priest knows that and does not dispose the person to say, are you sorry at least in some way for your sins, and the person refuses to be sorry, he is forbidden to administer the sacrament of penance. If he does, he is also guilty of sacrilege and a mortal sin. So you can see how seriously clergy and laity must take the sacrament of penance. It shouldn't be routine. It should be something that you prepare for, but also that you should look forward to. Now some may say, you know, it is just, it's so hard for me to tell my sins and my faults to the priest. And what if he knows me and I'm embarrassed? Well, that's a valid point, because we're human beings. But that's why God created the sacrament in the way he did. Because it's totally confidential. It's secret. Nobody else can hear you. And that's why we have the form for confession sheet and the examination of conscience leaflet in the vestibule, so you can say the right words, which you should say, which you must say. You have to say the correct words. Because sometimes a person can forget the prayers or how the form because they're nervous or distracted or tired. And Holy Mother of the Church understands. But this is the best time to receive the sacrament of penance. Because it goes all the way back, as we said earlier, to Adam and Eve, especially Adam. Because what did God do to Adam and Eve after they sinned? You know, they were without clothes. They weren't tempted. They had no concupiscence. But after they sinned, they did. So they hid themselves, as it says in the book of Genesis. And they were ashamed of their nakedness, but also they were extremely ashamed and embarrassed before God for what they had done, for listening to the devil who appeared to them as a snake. And did God cast fire and brimstone on them? No. Why have you done this? So they were cursed in a way. Because God said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow shall you toil the earth to feed yourself. You'll have to struggle to just survive and live. And to Eve, he said, you'll give birth, in childbirth you'll have pain, and you'll long for your husband. And then he said something very consoling to them. He gave them what's called a proto-evangelium, that there would be a woman in the future who would step on the head of Lucifer, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Right at the very beginning, we have the promise of the Mother of God, the Mother of the Savior, to assist us. And so, instead of being afraid and discouraged, which are human feelings, there's nothing sinful in discouragement or sadness. Those aren't sins, those are human feelings. but we must not give in to them. Our Lord had sorrow. He had intense feelings. He knew what it meant to be betrayed by even his apostles. How he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane for our sins. He knew when he was there for those hours during the night, every sin that has ever been committed. And he knew what he had to do. He wasn't looking forward to it, but he obeyed the will of his Father to suffer, to take up his cross and die on it for us. And that's what we're supposed to do. Deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Christ. Imitate him. That's why the priests went to so much trouble to prepare that spiritual counsels leaflet for you. It's not something to be taken lightly. So, now that this first Sunday of Lent, it inaugurates officially the season, it's something we, hour by hour, we should be conscious of. Not, okay, I went to Mass, and I said my rosary, which should be said every day, even if you have to divide it up. And as our Father Superior said, if you're able to, say the entire full rosary, all 15 mysteries. 15 mysteries. Joyful, sorrowful, glorious. And as he said, to do study, to read the lives of the saints. And what do all of these things do? Throughout the day, they keep us above the distractions and the evil of the world. Because our Lord told the apostles, and it's written in the Gospel of St. John, you are in the world, but you don't want to be of the world. Meaning you don't want to be attached and worldly. You want to be, as our Lord was, he lived, suffered, did great works, performed miracles, and preached to save all mankind. But only some followed him. But we're supposed to do as much as we can each day to imitate him. Just reading some of the accounts of his miracles and the way he treated those around him. That gospel story just this last week, how people and certain miracles, if I could just touch the Savior or his cloak, I will be saved. Some of you remember that, right? If I just touch him or his garment, they knew they would be saved because of their great faith. And you have right before you not his garment, but the Holy Eucharist, the promise of eternal life that you can receive. You can touch, but you can receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And that's ultimately why we have Lent, to purify us so we can receive the Holy Eucharist and get to heaven. That's why we have the ashes. That's why we have the sacramentals. All these beautiful gifts that are given to us. And finally, so that we are prepared to do battle with the devil and his agents in the world, whether they're before us, physically right near us, or wherever they are. And that we perform our fasts and our sacrifices, and not just externally, but internally. And the very last thing is, when you feel you've done for each day your fasts, penances, your prayers for yourself, pray for each other. Pray for your family, your spouses, your children, your relatives, the people who come to Mass here. Pray for us. Pray for each other. Pray for the sisters. I can't tell you how much suffering they've undergone, and they, in their life, in the religious life, they know that they offer that up for their sins, for the sins of the world, but especially you, our friends and their friends. May God bless you.